What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Well, that was not great. 38-0. The Bills get blanked. On the road last night, late last night, a late preseason game. I mean, what's up with this? What's up with this 8 p.m. preseason start in Chicago? I'd heard a little buzz that the original start time of this game was not supposed to be Sunday night. But then Fox is like, Hard Knocks last year, Hard Knocks this year. We're putting them on national TV, so we're going Sunday night. That's what happens when you have the league MVP, you have Hard Knocks. But ultimately, they did wind up playing Sunday night at 8 p.m., and it was, I think, a night to, A, want to kind of forget, but B, that you are able to because it doesn't actually count in the record. That being said, coaches aren't going to forget it. Players aren't going to forget it. And in fact, they're coming right back today to try and fix it. It was not a good night for the Buffalo Bills last night in Chicago. They get blown out in the Windy City, 38-0 by the Bears. The Bears have now outscored the Bills 71-6 over two preseason games, 71-6. Counting last year, 33-6. This year, 38-0. Good morning to you. Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. This is a Monday reaction show. Now, as opposed to in the regular season when we do our Monday show and we're on video, which that's going to be happening in a few weeks here. Today, we will actually have a guest, and his name is Matt Perino. My buddy Matt Perino, who I saw last night at the game, he is still, I believe, in Chicago. So he's kind enough to join us in an hour from now to break down what he saw in Chicago before he flies back to Buffalo. So we'll do that with Matt Perino. Also, today, just want you to have a heads up today. It is 1 week from today. 1 week from today is the annual Coaches versus Cancer golf event down in Olean at St. Bonaventure that Mark Schmidt hosts for the college basketball, you know, area, region, and really country for this particular event. And I'm always honored to be a part of it and emceeing. So going to have Mark Schmidt on at 11:30 just to kind of tell you how you can be a part of that and raise some money. The Coaches versus Cancer event is going on next Monday, but we'll talk with Mark also about some college basketball stuff. So we will turn the page a little bit here, but of course it's pretty much all Bills all morning here as we react to what happened yesterday, 38-0 last night, Chicago Bears, Buffalo Bills. It really started on Friday though, right? I mean, Friday was the joint practice between the two teams. And yes, it's a practice versus a game. And as I said last night, I said to Frank Gore last night in the locker room interviewing him, I said, obviously the score doesn't matter. He said, no, the score always matters. And you know, good for Frank. That's right. Score matters. If you're out there playing, you want to win, and the score matters. It doesn't like affect the record, though. But you know, as a practice, you're not keeping score. But I believe the joint practice was more beneficial and better overall for an evaluation of players. But that doesn't excuse what happened last night on the field. And last night what happened on the field, that looked like, and this is not an excuse and it's not acceptable. So please don't take it that way when I say this. Not an excuse, not acceptable. It did look like a team last night that had been in Chicago for 4 days and wanted to get home and was tired. You can't play like that, though, regardless. You know, especially if you're a second stringer, a third stringer, you're trying to make the team, you're trying to make an impression. That's what you're putting on film. Chris Tabor, the special teams coach for the Bills, had said something a couple of weeks ago in our press conference that really stuck with me. Not that he's the first person to ever say this, but it's right. He said the goal is to, you know, develop a player where if he's not going to play for us, he's going to play for somewhere. He's going to play somewhere on a team. Like what you're doing as a player when you go out there in a preseason game, you're fighting for a roster spot. You're not just trying to make the Buffalo Bills. You're trying to make an NFL roster, not just the Bills. You're trying to put enough on tape, on film, for another team to say, hey, the Bills didn't want that guy. We really like him. We can take him. And I think when you take that in consideration, you take the score, you take the entire context, and then the players, player to player to player, that's why last night it was so disappointing, right? You have to be better than that as a player. You have to be better than that as a team. Offense, defense, special teams, really. I mean, it just did not go well last night. I wrote arrow up, arrow down. You can find that at WGR550.com. And as I wrote last night, just before getting on the plane to come back home, and landed at 3:30 in the morning. But you know what? Got a little bit of shut-eye on the plane because I said, I'm just writing this column now because there's not much to write about except to say everything went pretty poorly, and that's your arrow down. I did point out a few specifics, but really, last night, arrow down to kind of everything on the field that you saw. Because the Bills were outgained, they were outmuscled, and they got beaten pretty handily on the scoreboard. The good news is that scoreboard doesn't count. It matters, but it doesn't count. How do you want to say that? I don't know. Yeah, Frank Gore's right. It always matters on the scoreboard. Yeah, you want to look up. You don't want to lose. You want to win. It doesn't impact the record. Like, they're 0-2 in the preseason. Has nothing to do with the regular season, right? Got to have a better showing next week. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. I want to get to your phone calls, though. 803-0550. Here's what we'll do on the program today. As I said, Matt Parrino at 11, Mark Schmidt at 11:30. To preview next week's Coaches vs. Cancer event. Matt Parrino on everything that went down in Chicago last night, but your phone calls all along the way for the first hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. 803-0550. Your comments, your questions, your concerns on what you saw last night. I have plenty of them, and I think they start right where Jared is going to start. He's been waiting patiently, wants to talk about the secondary, so I'll let you lead it off, Jared. I have the same concerns as you do, but you go ahead and give your thoughts on it.
Yeah, good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so, I mean, we all saw it right out of the gates. Caleb Williams, Tyson Badgett, they found the holes in the zone and carved us up. And it kind of led me to think that the Bears weren't playing this like a preseason game. Like, we were playing it more like a scrimmage, and they were playing it more like a regular season or mid-season form type of game. And, like, I applaud Ben Johnson for being able to get his players ready to play hard-nosed, fundamental football. But it's sort of tough. If you're McDermott and Dean, how do you really evaluate your players when you're playing the most vanilla version of your defense? And it's Ben Johnson. He's going to put some wrinkles in there, and he's playing a bit more advanced than most teams are going to play at this time of the year.
Well, I would say it this way. I don't totally disagree with you. I do think that the Bears looked like they had a few things planned, right? I'm not going to say they went full game plan, but it looked like they wanted to see some things out of their young quarterback. You have a new head coach. He's trying to instill some confidence. You know, they did that same thing last year, different coach last year, but last year they clearly game planned when they came to Buffalo. They were running all these rollouts and boots. They did a little bit of that last night as well. But the answer to your question, Jared, is you still evaluate on the fundamentals, and the fundamentals weren't there. I'm talking about tackling. I'm talking about blocking, getting pushed off the ball. That doesn't matter. I don't care if a team is game planning or not. You have to be better in those situations. There's no, you know, there's no excuse or accepting of not making a tackle in an open field or being in a proper position on a basic routine route across the middle. I think that's where the answer lies and why there's frustration today, Jared.
Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, I've seen it was mostly the same three players being picked on in the zone. It was Andreessen, Bishop, and Hamlin. And I know at least two of those guys, we really need to make a splash for us this year. So hopefully they learn from it.
Yeah. Thanks, Jared. And you know, you make a good point. It's right over the middle, right? Right over the middle there. And I didn't think Joe had a particularly great game last night. But, you know, Joe's done a lot in preseason. And I do think he's firmly entrenched as the backup middle linebacker on this team. I don't think one night should undo that. You know, he's also playing with a lot of guys who aren't going to be playing regularly for the Buffalo Bills. That should matter as well. I think really where this conversation goes, and as Jared, as you were on hold and came on, it said you wanted to talk about the secondary, so I'll do that now. That's the big concern, especially the safeties, right? I think, don't we all come away from this game saying, okay, what's going on at safety? Why did Cole Bishop not look like a guy I have a lot of confidence in right now to step in and have a main role and be a starter and make plays, when we've really kind of thought and been told and have understood that, you know, that's his job and he's going to be better than what they had last year there. But at the same time, we also know he's been unavailable until recently. Unavailable last year in training camp really hurt him. Being unavailable during training camp this year has really hurt him. And now he gets on the field, he gets that time, and it didn't go well last night. He missed an open field tackle. He did not take a good angle on the touchdown that was scored. He was on a pitch count, rep count. He came out of the game. Jordan Hancock comes in. I think Jordan Hancock, through two games, has looked better than Cole Bishop. Now, that doesn't mean that the Bills are going to start Jordan Hancock over Cole Bishop. But I do wonder what that conversation is today when you go back and watch film and decide and start thinking about what you need to do to get ready for the Baltimore Ravens Sunday night week one. The good news is, on top of the fact that last night's, you know, score does not reflect the actual record in the regular season, the good news is you do have 3 weeks left. Now, time is still running short, right? It was 5 weeks and 4 weeks. Now it's only 3 weeks. But you do still have 3 weeks to button these things up, to get some time on task. Yes, in a practice setting more than anything, but they'll go through that. You have one more game here, preseason game in Tampa next Saturday. That's the good news, to be able to do all that. And you hope that, and I do think, like, right now, I would be stunned if Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp aren't the starting safeties. But I have to think you give a little bit of space to, what have we seen from Jordan Hancock here? Because right now, it looks like Cole Bishop is struggling to get back to where he needs to be once again after missing some time. And Jordan Hancock, although he hasn't been perfect by any means, seems like he's kind of figuring it out a little bit. So I'm interested in where that goes. It's a concern for me. Let's go to Mike in Denver. Hi, Mike. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yes, good morning. I guess I'd like to just talk about, you know, Sean McDermott's philosophy, and whether this was, even if you want to talk about Leslie Frazier back in the day, it just seems to me that this team has struggled with soft coverages with the corners. I mean, when they had Poyer, you know, I mean, that kind of made up. You know, maybe that kind of helped us, you know, hide some of the weaknesses. But I mean, I just got to go back to a philosophy, though, and whether he needs to just change his philosophy when it comes to secondary. You know, because I think this has played this team, not just, you know, what we're seeing in the preseason, but you can go back. I mean, you know, that old mantra about, oh, they're a bend and don't break defense. Well, I would argue that they have broken several times. You can go back to the Cincinnati playoff game when they were just carved up in the secondary. And you can even go back to the 13-second game, where even before the 13 seconds, they were being carved up. So, I mean, there's plenty of examples of how his philosophy is just not working.
I'm not here to disagree that particular philosophy has not won games in critical moments, as you're saying. I also don't think you should take last night as exactly what they're going to do all year, because there's been some indications, Mike, that this year they might actually have a bit of a change of philosophy. But I don't think you're going to see all those things in a preseason game. You know what I mean? But no, I mean, your overall point is correct, which is, hey, this soft zone they play, a lot of times it could be exactly what you want. You make teams play another down. And look, one of the things they did last year a lot was they took the ball away. And the reason they took the ball away was not because they have all these ball hawks, but because they made teams work. They made them have go more plays. And the more plays means maybe a mistake made here. And that actually did work out. But I also would be a little careful, Mike, about thinking that this is exactly how they're going to play all the time this year. I don't know that. They could. But I think there's some indications they will change some things up once the regular season comes this year, based on what we've seen in camp and so far and some of the new coaches. You know what I mean?
Well, I just hope you're right on that. But like I'm arguing, I think there's several times where this team has broken.
Okay.
And you can go back to Leslie Frazier, and everybody thought, well, maybe it's Leslie Frazier. But no, how about starting to put the blame on Sean McDermott? He's supposed to be this defensive guru, and it's just not working out with that type of philosophy.
Well, a lot of people do. We get calls about it all the time. People do blame him. There's no doubt about it. And I think we've taken that type of call many times, no doubt. I would be careful about thinking that last night, you know, we always talk about vanilla offense. There's also vanilla defense, right? And hey, again, not accepting, and it was not a good performance last night. And I didn't think the pass coverage was great against the Bears in the practice either. I thought the pass rush was good, pass coverage wasn't. But I will tell you, there were even times man-to-man that they got beat in that scrimmage. And just overall, I think I'm concerned about the secondary right now. And where they are. They have some time here. We'll see where it goes. But I understand. But we've taken that call. People have put it on Sean McDermott, as you say, Mike. Let's go to Butch on the east side. Hi, Butch.
First of all, good morning, my friend. I love you. I love MSG. I love WGI. To the fans who listen and watch this show, I love you too. So let me just get right to it. Even though, and you, especially you and I, we have watched so many preseason games. We have watched so much personnel. We have watched so many games. And so we understand what preseason football, just like you just said, what the word vanilla offense or vanilla defense really means. But it's something to that, too. And this goes to coaching. Not just, I might even talk about the head coach. I'm talking about all coaches. Sometimes we have a concept that even though we're not game planning, we still do things with talent to really get them an idea of what we want to do during a regular season. And you just mentioned a guy, a.k.a. Hancock, who I think is going to be somebody special on this football team. And I think that the coaches really don't look at his draft position, look where he is. You might have to find a place for this guy. But I'm going to put that to the side and get back to this point. The point I'm trying to say is sometimes overall, over years and years and years, other defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators have really understood what our concept is. Even though we don't really do it, we still show some kind of idea of what we want our young players who don't really know the defense to be doing. So when we do give you the game plan during regular season, you have an idea of something. But on the other side of the fence, the people who've been scouting us over the years have seen us, just like you did, the soft zone, the screen plays. Some things we get exploited even during regular season based off of some things I saw last night. I really don't care about the points. I care about how it was so easy for it to happen, to make the points. You know, I mean, it was like a kindergarten show sometimes. Sometimes I thought the players just gave up. Like, this is run for the bus and get on the bus and go. But then I had to look at it. I said, no, some of these young players, like Strong, like some of these players that we saw in training camp, who at the exact same time have the outstanding training camps, were looking like during this game, like, hey, I don't even want to be on the football team. I don't even want to make the NFL anymore. But so I really want the coaches to go back and look at the film before we start pointing at the players and understand the concept. Maybe over the years, some people might have caught up to us that we might have to change a little bit or tweak a little bit to get ready. Even though we might call that, Sal, game planning, I still want maybe the concept we might have to change a little bit.
I got you, buddy. I know. Listen, the fundamentals have to be there no matter what. It doesn't matter if you game plan or not. You still have to block, right. You still have to tackle, you still have to make plays when the plays are there to be made. And I think that's what's most concerning about last night, right? And that's what you're saying, which is, sure, it doesn't matter if you're game planning or not. If you're in position to make a play, make a damn play.
Make a play. I understand that. And like I said, I don't want to sound redundant of what I said. Some of these players that we know that really are talented, like you just said, if your play is in front of you, make the play. But anyway, Sal, do me a favor. Kiss the queen. Give my nephew a high five. As usual, I love you, man. Keep winning. And I'm going to listen to the rest of the show.
Always good to hear from you, Butch. Hope you're well, buddy. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. All right. That is Butch from the East Side. We'll go to Steve in Orchard Park, who's next up. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Sal. Just a couple things. The game sucked yesterday. There's no question. Well, our second and third guys really didn't play well. Okay. So that being said, the only thing that really concerns me is our safety play at this point, as you touched on a few minutes ago. that is a concern from just the naked eye of what's going on, even though there isn't any game planning. Another thing is just reading, okay, I know it's social media, we don't talk about that too much, but many people from Chicago are just saying, like, hey, the Bills got dominated in those practices that that we held last week.
They didn't. I was there. They didn't. And I talked to Chicago reporters, and you could read them. And they all said it was a really good. I share their sentiment. We all share the kind of the same sentiment. We compared notes. I thought it was a really even practice both ways. I don't think either team dominated.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what I had heard, that our pass rush was pretty good with Bosa and Rousseau.
Yep.
And they didn't really run the ball except for a few plays. They popped on us. Other than that, they pretty much shut down to running a game. And I know Josh Allen had like a couple of picks, which they're hanging their hat on. But again,
well, listen, I mean, let me put it in context for you. It's a 2+ hour practice. And there's going to be a lot of plays made on both sides of the ball. So anybody who comes away going, I mean, unless it was a complete domination, you're going to get bad plays, you're going to get good plays, you're going to get wins, you're going to get losses. It's just sports. That's the way it should be. Yes, Josh did throw one pick where he underthrew a ball. He also had another one just batted up at the line of scrimmage, and then it came down into a defender's hands. So if you want to put that on him. So just to give you context, it's a 2.5 hour practice, Steve, so you're going to get both sides. You know what I mean?
Oh, I totally agree. I could care less about preseason other than what a couple of points were made about the want to and, you know, how they looked. I don't care about preseason. It should be banned. They should just have scrimmages as far as I'm concerned, because then you got first team against first team. And when you're playing these scrimmage games or these preseason games on TV, you know, like yesterday, you got ones playing against twos and threes, and it just doesn't look good. So that's just my point.
No, I
get it. Take it easy. Have a good day.
You got it. No problem. No, I get it. I mean, I'm the same way. I actually think the joint practices, the scrimmage, is more it's more beneficial and more important and easier for evaluation, because you can put your guys in certain positions you want to see them. Now, there's definitely a really beneficial part of playing preseason games. It's game reps. I mean, that's what a game looks like. You're in a game, right? So no doubt about that. So, but I will just go back to Friday. I mean, any Bears fan who's saying they dominated the Bills in the joint practice, or any Bills fan who's saying they're dominated the Bears in joint practice, just isn't correct. I was there. You can ask any other media member from Buffalo who was there. There were Chicago media there, national media there. I think the general sentiment was both teams really did a nice job against each other at different portions of it. In fact, I heard one Chicago media member say he thought the Bills were kind of the better team, and maybe that's the case. I just know that the Bills did some really nice things, and they had some things that did not go their way in the joint practice. And that's what you want to see from something like that. I would rather see more scrimmages, more joint practices. I wish the NFL would do more. Teams would do more. They could televise them. I get it, though. You want to sell tickets to an actual game, and it works that way better for TV, but I think you could still do it. All right, we're going to take a time out here. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I also want to play you Sean McDermott from last night, postgame. I want you to hear all his comments. He said something very interesting during postgame last night when he was asked about Cole Bishop and safety, and the overall safety position is what he said something about when he was asked about Cole Bishop's performance. So we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thanks for hanging with me on a Reaction Monday on WGR. Check out my Arrow Up, Arrow Down column at WGR550.com. Lots of downs, but I had to kind of succinctly just kind of narrow a few things, which I added. A few arrows up, though. We'll get your thoughts on the game and the Bills overall at 803-0550. Ben in Amherst is up next. Hi, Ben.
Morning, Sal. Probably a busy morning for you, I assume, huh?
Busy, I guess, in the sense of landing at the airport about 3:30, driving home and trying to get a little sleep, and then coming into... Did a podcast this morning with Matt Bove, which will be up later. Thanks for letting me say that. And then doing the show here.
Well, double up on the caffeine today, bud.
You got it. I got it in my hand right now. Thanks a lot.
So I'm not sure if this has been discussed already, and it's about the safety position, and this isn't me kind of beating up DeMar Hamlin or Bishop. I love Hancock. I think he's got Bill's DNA through and through. And, I don't know if it's been discussed. What's the possibility if he's got the physical and mental skill set of him playing the safety position. Is that something you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been doing it. And I'll go back. Maybe you weren't listening early on, Ben. I actually raised the possibility. Maybe he starts over Cole Bishop if this keeps going this way. Like, maybe they start to transition in going from Bishop and Rapp to Hancock and Rapp, because I think Jordan Hancock's looked better than Cole Bishop through the first 2 weeks, but they still want to see Cole Bishop, and I know that he's still got to get some more reps, but I thought last night was not a great night for Cole, and I think that Jordan Hancock's done some nice things. That being said, I think to answer your question about position, he's played more safety. He has been a safety primarily throughout camp. He did get injured while playing nickel last night, though. That was a series he was in on nickel. They had two other safeties. So I think, Ben, he, to me, does project more of a safety right now on the Buffalo Bills, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets even more of a look there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, Sal. Thanks for your time.
All right, yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Bob in Illinois, who was at the game last night. Hi, Bob.
Hello. Is this the Golden Eagle?
Yes, it is. Hi, Bob. Thank
okay,
you.
you can call me Blue Devil.
Hi, Blue Devil. How are you? I love it. You know what? That's great. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's a great tribute to Art Wander. I told the story Friday. Art had passed away, obviously, we all learned, and used to call his show, and we would have different nicknames. Did you call his show as the Blue Devil, or are you just calling and saying that here on this show?
I'm just calling on your show.
I got it, but thank you. I appreciate
it. I'm a Kenmore West alumni.
There you go. I love that. Very good on you. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, I was at the game last night. I pretty much... Like you, I could sum up the game in one word. It was a mess. But I did like Jordan Hancock. If you remember from the early 2000s, Ohio State was where we'd go to get our defensive backs.
Yeah, that's right.
Antoine Winfield and...
Nate Clemens,
yeah.
I mean, even Ashton Yabuti, who didn't work out very well, but he was there.
No, nope, remember him too.
Yeah, my guy Marlon Kerner played in the 90s. He was a Ohio State guy for the Bills. Dante Whitner, Ohio State.
Yep. I was at the game back in 2000. I think it was 2003 or 2004 when we were playing the Steelers to get into the playoffs, and Nate Clemens had a pick six.
Yep.
But anyway.
And then it went downhill from there. That was 04. What do you got for me on last night? What are your thoughts on last night's game real quick?
I'm not worried at all about the offense. As long as Josh Allen stays healthy, I think we'll see an offense pretty much like last year, maybe a little better. The defense, like everyone, I'm concerned about the secondary. I think that'd be interesting to see what Hancock can do at safety. I was impressed with him last night. But... It was disappointing. I was there with my grandsons and son-in-law. And, you know, I know we're looking at second and third stringers, but they didn't look like guys that were playing for jobs.
Yeah, they need to have a better showing for that, for sure. And I'm sorry your family didn't have much to cheer about. I mean, I think about that sometimes when I see the people in the stands and wearing all the Bills jerseys, and there was just really no scoring, right? No, nothing to cheer about. They got a zero on the scoreboard, 38-0, the final score. After the game, Sean McDermott addressed the media, as he always does. Said something very interesting when he was asked specifically about Cole Bishop, but he made it more about the safety position in general. And you'll hear him say it here. We're going to replay his comments here. And he says, we'll have to see what we need. And I want to see how we and think about how we interpret that. This is Sean McDermott postgame last night after the Bills lost to the Bears.
Okay, certainly not up to our standard, what we expect. Got a lot of work to do. That's very clear. Doesn't matter who's out there. Ones, twos, threes, fours, whoever it is, we expect them to perform, and we expect our level of performance to be much better than that. So you just break it down. You know, line of scrimmage, we didn't win the line of scrimmage. Fundamentally, we weren't good enough. Too many penalties. You know, we get out there and, you know, playing against their ones, you know, we expect to compete with them. And that wasn't the case early. And then our twos then who were out there competing against their twos and our threes against their threes, it didn't get much better. So, you know, we got to look at it, figure some things out and you know, evaluate some of the guys as well and see, you know, where we stand there a lot of work to get done this week as we move forward here. So I thought we made some momentum, had some momentum coming off that practice, which I thought was a good practice for us. Tonight, however, not even close. So we go back and head back tonight and get back to Buffalo and have a good week of practice coming up.
Did you feel like you accomplished enough at that joint practice that you didn't need to see most of your starters tonight?
I felt like we had moved in the right direction, holistically coming out of that practice. And it's not that they still don't need work, they do. But tonight was a chance for us to also evaluate some of the other players on our roster, and doing so also hope to keep some of our starters healthy as well. So, was looking forward to seeing some guys with the opportunity tonight step up, and I didn't sense that as much as I'd hoped.
Cole Bishop did play a little bit there. Couldn't tell. It looked like the first touchdown might have been on him. Are you concerned at this point, John, that because of the time he's missed, plus last year he's supposed to be a starter, we think, for you? Are you at all concerned at this point?
I'm concerned about a lot of things coming off of tonight, really, Sal. So we've got to look at the film and really just see who we have, who can help us, what we may need, and then also things that we can just do better execution-wise, fundamentally, those things. So there's a lot that needs to get cleaned up.
What did you see from Cole, obviously limited the last couple of practices leading into this game, in the two practices, and then what you saw out there today?
Yeah, I mean, it was limited because he's been on a managed rep count, so I think he had like three or four plays a period, and then maybe again this past in the practice the other day, and then tonight. So with that, I wanted to get him some more reps. He needs more experience. He needs more reps. That's where you work out some of these things, and that's how you build the callousness, and comes from experience. So there's nothing more important for him than the experience that he got tonight, and then moving forward. But even tonight, he was on a rep count of roughly 10 to 12 plays there. I think that's about what he had.
For Palmer, the reason why he played was because he hadn't played. He just hasn't had.
Yes, yeah. And he's new. He's new to us, and continuing to get him more and more experience with our system, and more build his endurance a little bit up too, coming off the injury that he's been dealing with as well. So
I know it's tough before you get to watch the film, but whether it be the rush up front or the secondary, what did you feel like was the bigger issue in terms of what you guys were giving up in the passing game?
Yeah, I mean, you name it. You know, it starts up front, like everything does. You know, you want to win a game, you got to win the trenches. And we had a hard time stopping the run. We had a hard time stopping the pass. Those two work together, the rush and the coverage, as you've heard me say, over and over again. And the quarterback cannot go in the first drive of the game unaffected. And he was in a rhythm right away. And that's now you're dealing with it. I mean, the quarterback rating at the end of the game says it all. Right, so I think theirs was one over 100, and ours was right around 55, 56. So there's the game right there.
Since you got to play with the starters last week, Mike didn't get that chance. Kind of odds were stacked against him a little bit because of that, Sean, that situation.
I mean, you want to be as even as possible, right? Same players, all that type of stuff. It's not always possible to do it the way you want it to. We tried to give him about equal playing time. You know, Mitch had a half, had the first half last week. Mike had it this week, and so we evaluate the best we can off of those performances, and we move forward.
John, it looked like tackling was an issue a couple different times throughout the game. How much does that? Because that seems like an effort type thing. How much is that stuff bothering you?
Yeah, well, effort. I don't feel like it was effort, but when you lose the way we did, it was probably a little bit of everything. And tackling, I mentioned you may not have been in here, Josh, but fundamentally, we got out fundamental. You throw, you catch. You get off blocks, you tackle. We've got to make sure we go back to the fundamentals of the game, and can't all be about scheme and this and that. It's about who can go out and win the one-on-ones, who's going to tackle, who's going to get off blocks. That's where the game starts, really. So.
Hancock was a shoulder, they said.
Yes.
Was announced. Any word on what that could be?
I have not followed up. I have not heard from Nate yet. So.
What did you think about his performance? Second preseason game while he was in there, Jordan.
He grew a little bit, and unfortunately got hurt. So, and these young guys, they're all learning. You look out there, and you got TJ out there and getting some good reps, Deion getting some good reps, Landon getting some good reps, Styles in his second year. I mean, so there's some quite a bit of youth out there, and these guys are wet behind the ears, and they need time. We didn't plan on playing TJ and Deion that long into the third quarter, but we came out and wanted to get them some more reps, and that experience is good for them, you know. So, you know, we're trying to see who can play up with the varsity, if you will, and who can help us. So that's part of the evaluation from tonight.
All right, Sean McDermott there after the game last night. The Bills fall to the Chicago Bears 38-0. And the notable quote there that I mentioned heading in that I'll revisit. He was asked about Cole Bishop, is there concern? He said, I'm concerned with a lot of things. Then he talked about safety and he said, we have to see who we have, who can help us, and what we may need. Now, that to me sounds like, are they looking outside the organization even? Maybe. Or does it mean what we may need as far as how many reps each guy has to get, how we have to piece this together to make sure we are ready to rock and roll week one? It's probably all of that, right? It's what we may need, what we may need to do, what we may need. But I think that sounds like a coach who's saying, hey, if there's something better out there, we have to investigate it. Because the Bills, like any team, are going to do that. They're not going to be shy about that. This is the time of year, by the way. Usually it's right around this week and into next week when teams make moves, make a trade, sign a free agent who's out there, do something that they have to kind of firm up their roster, to help firm up their roster. Because a week from tomorrow is cut down day. A week from tomorrow is 53-man roster day. That's why this week is important for all of this. We've seen Brandon Bean make moves before. Is that something they're looking at the safety position? He said, we have to see who we have, who can help us, and what we may need. I thought that was interesting there. Sean McDermott was asked about injuries, specifically right there to Jordan Hancock, who did suffer a shoulder injury. Jordan Hancock said they'll look at it today. He felt better. He felt good. But they're going to look at his shoulder today, so nothing definitive on him. Connor McGovern did not dress at all for the game. He told reporters afterward that he tweaked his hamstring Friday during the joint practice. He indicated that, you know, it wasn't so serious that he couldn't give it a go if he needed to, but they're holding him out right now. Darrington Evans did hurt his hamstring in the knee. I'm sorry. I want to make sure here on Darrington Evans. I believe I just have to make sure here. Give me 1 second. Let me look. I don't want to give you the wrong information here. It was on Friday. Darrington Evans, hamstring injury. There you go. In practice. Also to Corey Couch, hamstring injury during the joint practice. So just to wrap up on that. Also, Caden Prather had just come back from an injury. He was at the game. He was on the field yesterday. But then he ran off into the tunnel at one point without a trainer. Then he came back and he went into the blue tent with trainers, and then he was working off to the side. So these are all guys we'll be monitoring as the week goes on, as well as guys who've already been injured, like Curtis Samuel, and trying to get him back. Alec Anderson, and trying to get him back. I think Curtis Samuel's a really important one here that we're all going to be watching as the week progresses. And then, of course, the Bills take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Saturday night. That is a 7:30 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday night preseason wrap-up game, final preseason game for both teams. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Matt Perino is going to join me at 11 a.m. We're going to have Mark Schmidt, the head basketball coach at St. Bonaventure University, at 11:30 on next week's Coaches versus Cancer event. Always a great time. Lots of great auction items. We'll talk with him and a little bit about the changing landscape of college sports and how he's navigating that. And a year into Woj being at St. Bonaventure. But we'll do that at 11:30. Still plenty of your phone calls and much more on the Buffalo Bills 38-0 loss to the Chicago Bears last night after this timeout here on WGR. Going to have Matt Perino on here at 11. It'll be 10 o'clock Chicago time. He's still there. It's a good weekend in Chicago, though, you know, overall. I had a good weekend. Went to Wrigley on Saturday. My second time visiting. Had the fam in town visiting as well. They showed up in Chicago for a couple of days, since I was there for a couple of days, because Max had never been to Wrigley, so we went there. That was cool. Got to see that. And then the Thunderbirds air show. The Thunderbirds were there, and the pilots for the Thunderbirds were staying in our hotel, which is really cool. Got to talk with them a bit, and then they were buzzing the tower a bit. They're buzzing the tower at Wrigley. They buzzed the tower at Soldier Field a little bit before the game. That was cool. Got to see the air show. Did you see the video of the Cubs?
Were you at the game when Hayden Christensen, who played Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars, was he there for that game you were at?
I don't think so.
Oh, because he was the clip went around Twitter for the day it happened, but they were doing their test runs for the air show. And they flew over the stadium while he was singing like the seventh inning stretch song. And as soon as he started, the jet flew by, and everyone in the stadium's like ducking and looking around, like what the heck?
Did
was
you
that?
See the viral video of the guys in the dugout who got scared? Yep. That was the day before we were there.
Oh, okay, so yeah.
They were doing it on Saturday. That was great. And then I don't know if you've ever spent any time in Chicago, Josh, but I did we did a boat tour. They do these boat tours down the river, hour and a half long. It's called an architect tour. Amazing. It's a really, really interesting city with how it's been built over the many years and different things that they've done with the different kinds of buildings. And really, it's really a very cool summer city. Had a great time in Chicago. And then, of course, not the game last night, 38-0. The Bills fall. Let's go to Michael in Atlanta. Hi, Michael. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal, long time no talk. I'm sorry, man. I'm just busy with life.
Hey, you don't have to apologize to me. Go ahead. Thanks, buddy.
But I'm looking forward to when you come down here in Atlanta. I'm taking you to a Fuga de Chow for lunch. I got to just work that out. I'll leave my number with your staff so you can call me.
Don't know if it'll be able to happen, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's a Brazilian steakhouse. You will love it.
Yeah. I've eaten at them before. Don't know what the schedule will hold if I can, but I appreciate the offer.
That's great. Absolutely. Well, I'll make sure I leave that number. Anyhow, I'm a bit concerned. Last week, I thought the backups did fair at best. I mean, they looked okay. I thought last night they looked horrible. It's been a concern of mine. I was excited when I heard after the draft that there was some guy from Canada that seemed to light it up, that the Bills were trying out, and I think the Vikings were also. I don't know if you know the guy that I'm talking about, but he set all kinds of records up in Canada. And it's just concerning because I look at all these other backups from Chicago and the Giants, and they're actually completing passes. And some of the passes just look atrocious by some of these quarterbacks that we have, the three backups. And to me, I'm concerned about that and some other things that I saw by the backups, and I just want to get your thoughts.
Well, my thought is you should be concerned with some of the things you saw. I don't think that's unjustified whatsoever, Mike. I mean, obviously they did not play well last night. I also think you're probably going a little too far of watching around the league and seeing all these guys light it up. Look, I mean, everybody treats preseason a little bit differently. Some teams even game plan a little bit for it. We see this every year. The Bills lost 33-6 to the Bears last year in preseason, and I took a lot of calls just like this one, right? I'm not telling you shouldn't be concerned about some of the things you saw. I'm concerned about some of the things I saw last night. I also would not just start judging by the rest of the league and what you're seeing from teams because everybody's different. Everybody treats it different. You know, there's all different ways to kind of slice it. I don't know who the Canadian football player is, but if he was that good, he'd be on a roster, I guess, is how I would put it.
Yeah, well, when I'm and I understand what you're saying, but when I'm talking about concerns, when you see a guy open for a short pass,
sure.
And they can't even connect on a pass that you and I could throw.
I don't want to go that far. Listen, I'm going to say this, though, okay, Mike? If anything were to happen to Josh Allen, I think we all know that the Bills are just not going to be in a good place. It's the backup quarterback. I mean, I don't think you should be too concerned by that other than the fact that, look, if something were to happen to Josh Allen, you're going to have to make a few plays here or there. But the Bills are in a position like a lot of teams, like most teams in the league, Mike, if something happens, take any really, really good team in the NFL, put their backup quarterback on instead of the quarterback they have, they're going to be in the same position.
I think I'm just spoiled by the years that we had Frank Reich as a backup. Well, I don't think he lost a game as a backup, did he?
I have to look, but no, I get it. But yes, for sure. Like backup quarterback is something that if you're watching last night, it didn't go well. I also don't think that it's something you should concern yourself too much because if something were to happen to Josh Allen, you're not going to have an all pro there. I mean, it's just nobody does.
That's right. Okay. I appreciate it, Sal. Thanks for the insight.
You got it. You got it. I understand. And I get this a lot. The Bills should have addressed backup quarterback. They should be do better there. Who do you want? Who's out there? There might be guys better than Mike White and better than Mitch Trubisky. I'm not here to deny that. But it still is going to be a major drop from Josh Allen. And last night, Mike White, a couple throws he should have made. He also wasn't helped by his offensive line. He wasn't helped by Elijah Moore dropping a couple passes. Mitch Trubisky, I thought, looked better last night. I think he has a leg up in this competition. He's more mobile. He made a couple throws on the run. Still wasn't a great showing last night for either guy. Because they were part of a team that didn't have a great showing last night. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, and the Shout Podcast joins me next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I mean, preseason is always this kind of weird spot to be in when you want to do reaction to what you see, right? Because we all know that it doesn't mean anything as far as a team's record, right? Everybody is 0-0. Yeah, you see 0-2 in the standings, but that's preseason. It gets reset. And we could talk all we want about, it doesn't matter, it's preseason. But what does matter is how you perform individually and as a team sometimes. What I mean by that, how it matters, not that it matters on the record, but it matters for the evaluation of players, and you want to make sure you still kind of treat it right, because the whole goal is to use that time to get to the regular season, have the right team, and perform your best via that particular ramp up and evaluation, right? So you try to put it all into context. So we'll try to do that right here with my buddy Matt Perino, who's going to join me on the West Hur Hotline after the Bills lose 38-0 to the Chicago Bears. And of course, Matt at Syracuse.com, NewYorkUpstate.com, and co-host of the Shout Podcast. He is still in Chicago, right? So thanks for taking some time before you board your plane to come back home, buddy.
Oh, no problem, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. All right. I mean, what was your biggest takeaway from last night, whether it be a team overall or anything individual for the Buffalo Bills?
You know, I think you make a great point to start there. It's just like you're going into this game, and Sean McDermott said it after the game, this is an opportunity for some of these guys that are battling for not very many open roster spots. Like, this is a roster that has probably 45 to 48 players pretty locked in. We're spending the month here talking about a roster bubble that consists of maybe about 5 or 7 players at all these different positions. And you look at this game, and to me, my biggest takeaway is it's an opportunity for Cole Bishop, who's been out again all summer long, the same issue that he ran into last year, to make a splash. And you know, he didn't want to use it as an excuse last night when we talked to him at his locker, but it is something where he hasn't been able to do any conditioning over the last couple of weeks with the quad injury, the stuff that he wanted to do. He's doing walkthroughs. He's going to meetings. He's doing extra mental stuff with Taylor Rapp to try to get on the same page. And then you get thrown out there, and it didn't look right. It didn't look like he was comfortable. It looked like he was a little bit – he wasn't playing very fast. And these evaluations are important, of course. Like, you need to get the reps. You need to get him back on board. He only had 2 limited practices before this game. But time's running out. I mean, Lamar Jackson's coming to Buffalo. It's Baltimore Ravens in less than 3 weeks now. And that was, you know, it wasn't the number one defense for the Bills. So I think that that's the one thing you can lean back on. The majority of players that were out there aren't going to be on the field in Buffalo in 3 weeks. And you can take that into account. But at the safety spot, a position that we spent so much of the offseason deliberating about and talking about, the Bills are basically running it back for the most part, with the one change being Jordan Hancock, this young, exciting rookie. We can talk about him too. He got hurt last night. It doesn't seem like it's super serious, but he's a guy that I thought took the opportunity last night and probably is going to get a positive evaluation when the Bills get the tape on.
All right, let's stay on that then. As far as safety, as far as Cole Bishop, I thought it was interesting. Sean McDermott, you were in the postgame press conference last night. His exact words were, we have to see who we have, who can help us, and what we may need. How do you interpret that?
Exactly what I think that you interpreted it is. The Bills might have to make a change at that position. They might have to bring somebody in to add to the competition. The competition's not over. Sure, they're wrapping up training camp here over the next couple of days. I know, you know, they do change John Fisher for 2 weeks, but it's still been a training camp setting in Orchard Park. And I don't know if they're anywhere closer to answering the question of who they're going to trust. It's probably going to be Cole Bishop, right? Like, where he'll play the Tampa Bay game, I would imagine. They'll probably want him to get more reps. But in terms of having another plan, you know, I think DeMar Hamlin is a solid player in the NFL. I think he is a average level starter that if you need to call on him as a backup player, you could do a lot worse. I don't think that he's a starting option for the team, or at least he shouldn't. And now he has the experience in this defense. They trust him a ton, but in big time moments against elite offenses over the last couple of seasons, he has struggled. So you start to talk about Hancock, and Sean has kind of pressed the brakes down a little bit on him because he's such a young player. But it reminds me in some ways, it's not a perfect comp, but if you think back to the Benford Elam year, they both were drafted at the same time, and it was Benford who just kept making plays and kept being the player that everybody was talking about in that room that entire summer. It's similar in a lot of ways to this season. Now, Bishop hasn't been on the field, so he hasn't been making poor plays or his play hasn't stood out. But while he's been injured, Jordan Hancock, I feel like, has been garnering a ton of attention. And Cole Bishop is a second-year player, and I think he's been given every opportunity to be the starting safety alongside Taylor Rapp. But I don't think it's, you know, any coincidence that he was making plays last night, Hancock was, while Bishop really, really struggled in his reps.
No, I don't disagree. I think that they're going to have to give that a little bit of a look, and we'll see exactly what Jordan Hancock, you know, the injury, and if it holds him back in any regard. But, you know, they obviously have to take a look and see if there's a better option there. That said, they do have a few weeks here. I would still be surprised if the plan wasn't to hopefully get Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp on the field together and get enough reps where they feel more comfortable with Cole Bishop. It'd be tough to see them pulling the chute this early. You know what I mean, Matt?
100%. And I think that when we get to the season, of course, you want to see what this looks like. And there might be some growing pains, right? Like, this is still a really young player in a position that Sean has talked about. It's really hard for young players. I mean, Micah Hyde came over, Jordan Poyer came over. That was their fifth year in the league when they started for the Bills. So, I mean, they had a lot of experience already to be able to kind of hit the ground running. And we saw what they turned into. You know, the problem is, it's not necessarily the fact that you might have to go through growing pains with Bishop. For me, I think the scary thing for the Bills is to try to project what this is going to look like, knowing the inability of Bishop so far through a little over a year, to be able to stay healthy. So you might maybe get something going here, but if he gets hurt again early in the season, now you have to make alternate plans. That's the big problem when you're trying to make these projections, is based on availability, and Bishop just continually isn't available.
Last night, the defensive lineman, the young defensive lineman, got a little more run, Sean said, than they even planned for. I thought the two defensive tackles were better last week, but I thought Landon Jackson was a bit better this week. What did you think?
I'm totally in line there. I thought Deion Walker, when they got to the twos, he started to make some plays. He had a couple of pressures. I actually was surprised that Sanders was credited with three pressures by PFF and by Next Gen Stats. But it was Landon Jackson, to me, who I think you're starting to see get comfortable. I felt like watching him all summer, it's felt like he very stiff. He's been rushing like his pad level hasn't been very low. And I know that was one of the things that was maybe a concern coming out of school. I thought yesterday you saw him show a little bit more of his athleticism. He won in a couple of ways where he beats his block. He's in the backfield, and maybe the quarterback's just out of reach, steps up, and he's gone. But the pressure, the winning, the affecting the play, all of that was there last night. And I think that's really going to be important as you look at a summer where I'd love to hear your evaluation of it. I've been pretty unimpressed with Javon Solomon. I don't know if he's really made an impact. And if you're getting to that spot where maybe they both make the roster, right? Because Hoyt's going to be suspended and yeah, Ogunjobi, you might have some opportunities there. But in terms of a game day jersey, which one of those two flashes enough over the course of in practice over the next week or two? And then obviously in the final preseason game, they're both going to get a really big opportunity against Tampa Bay next week. And I think right now, I'd say advantage Landon Jackson. And I also like his size profile and what they can do creatively and how they deploy him in a very limited package if he gets a game day jersey.
You know, it's interesting though. Michael Hoyt has been good. He's a guy that I think they could really use here for the first six weeks. And unfortunately, Matt, they're not going to have him. But I think he's actually looked really good, and there's a lot of different ways they can deploy him. But he's a guy that's going to help this team.
100%. And the most interesting thing to me is going to be not Hoyt, because I think when they get him back, they're going to find ways to get him on the field, and he's going to be maybe like a real, he's going to charge up that defense a little bit at that almost midway point of the season. The Ogunjobi thing is curious because of the numbers they're going to have on the interior. I mean, there's five right from the jump. You know, you think about Dwayne Carter behind Jones and Ed Oliver, then these two rookies and Deion Walker, who I think you have to write in pen in terms of a role in this rotation once you get to the season based on what we've seen from him this summer. And then obviously how excited they are about TJ Sanders, and he's been really good. So where does Ogunjobi fit? Like, are they going to keep six defensive tackles on their roster? They've actually done that in the past. I remember a couple years ago they had 11 defensive linemen. I can't remember, though. It might have been during the COVID era. Maybe they were dealing with some COVID stuff. I can't remember. I don't anticipate they'll do that. So they'll have to make a decision probably on one of these guys based on health when Ogunjobi gets back. That's going to be really interesting how they deal with that. One option could be maybe to trade Ogunjobi if you're really happy with the young players. But I had Mitch Morse on the podcast earlier this week, and he watched the Giants game, and he said, listen, I've played against Ogunjobi my entire career, and he is an absolute baller. He's a great addition behind Ed Oliver. So I think they're going to want to lean on that veteran pass rushing ability on the interior. I don't think that they'd probably be willing to part with him. So it's going to be interesting who ends up being the odd man out there.
Matt Parrino joining me here on the West Her Hotline. All right, let's move over to the other side of the football. What did you make of the two backup quarterbacks? Did the needle move from wherever you were going into the game?
Yeah, I think I've landed on Mitch Trubisky probably being the backup, as maybe that was always going to be the case, and maybe we just needed a storyline. I think Mike White's been the better quarterback for the most part throughout the summer. But once the games have started here, it wasn't good last night. He played pretty well after a tough series against the Giants. But again, that was against mostly backups at that point. I think Mitch Trubisky, what he was able to do, I think he was playing against the second teamers when he got things going. I just think no matter what, these two guys have shown that the drop off from Josh Allen to both of them is so large that you're probably going to be in trouble if he misses any kind of amount of time. And I think what Trubisky can do is, you know, he's got a little bit of that mobility. He uses it a little differently. He's not going to turn the ball over a ton because he is so careful, and, you know, he checks down a ton, which can be frustrating. But in a backup role, you almost just want to want somebody in that spot that's just going to be able to keep the ship on course a little bit. And I think with Mike White, he threw an interception, Sal. We were at the joint practice on Friday. That was one of the worst interceptions I have seen by a Bills quarterback in a long time. I mean, basically just stared down the linebacker on an 8-yard sideline throw and threw it just right at him, knowing that, like, the linebacker was in between him and Caden Prather, his intended target, and he still decided to kind of let it rip. And I know it's the practice setting and you want to take chances, but I just think Trubisky's kind of edged himself ahead of Mike White. And I think Mike White's also falls into that bucket where he loves Buffalo. He loves being in the room with Josh Allen. There's a high likelihood that they could probably get him back on the practice squad.
Yeah, I don't disagree. He also wasn't helped, though, last night. The offensive line did not perform very well. And specifically, I thought it was a rough night for Ryan Vandermark. He started off with two false start penalties on the very first series, and then he was beaten. And he's a guy that this team is going to probably have to rely on at some point, considering they're a bit banged up in the O-line. Tylon Grable is still in concussion protocol right now. We know that Spencer Brown missed a little bit of time earlier with the back. Deion Dawkins missed a day with the back. So Ryan Vandermark's got to be a key piece here, and he might be battling with Chase Lunt.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Chase Lunt and Ryan Vandenberg both struggled yesterday. And, I mean, it was across the board. I think that offensive line-wise, it wasn't a great day for really anybody. But Lunt is interesting because I think that they threw a ton on his plate last night to see what he can handle, starting him off at left guard. I don't know about you. I haven't seen him play guard all summer. So I think that that was Aaron Cromer's way of saying, all right, let's throw this kid a curveball, see how he handles it. Obviously gave up the two sacks inside when he was there. He went out to right tackle. I think he played a little bit better out there. But it was a tough day for the rookie. And then Ryan Vandermark's a guy that I think that they trust. I think that he's somebody that he's played a lot of really good football for them. I do think offensive line is one of those positions across the line where it's about continuity. It's about the guys that you're playing next to. And, you know, I'm thinking about at right tackle, I think it was Richard Garage who started the game there. He's playing next to Dan Feeney, who was basically out of the league a couple weeks ago. And, like, he's starting the game for the Bills in front of Mike White. So, to your point, not a lot to work with up front for Mike White. I mean, they had some, you know, even Kendrick Green, who I think has had a pretty solid summer. He's kind of been dealing with that elbow injury that he sustained in practice earlier this week.
Yeah.
You wonder how much that affected him, too.
Elijah Moore had a couple of drops yesterday. Not the best day, but he was good in the practice, I thought. He had a nice catch and run for a touchdown. How do you evaluate what's happening at wide receiver? And also, obviously, with Tyrell Shavers having another pretty decent performance, nice catch, and Laviska Shenault still getting some run.
I mean, I think it's going to be a conversation around all these guys. The thing I keep coming back to with Elijah Moore is we haven't seen him a ton with Josh Allen. Right. And like to your point, when we saw him with him, he makes a nice big play in the joint practice. And yesterday with the backups, it wasn't good. And the drop is not going to help him out. But the numbers just aren't really there. I mean, Tyrell Shavers is the one guy I think could potentially push him. And maybe the Bills are worried about cutting him this time around because of all the national attention he's now starting to get. I mean, Greg Olsen was talking about him in the beginning of that broadcast last night, where I was like, if you're any NFL evaluator and watching this game, I mean, I can't imagine Shavers isn't at least on your radar. So that's a decision they're going to have to figure out. Now, they got a bunch of injuries, so I think that could be interesting how they kind of navigate the IR process. I know you get those two that you can put on IR in addition to the suspended players. That's potentially four players that you're pushing over without having to risk losing them, and maybe that gets you an extra player. But I think Elijah Moore has got production in this league in a bad offense in Cleveland the last two seasons. His speed and his route-running ability and ability to win against men, playing the slot, playing the outside, that's all still there that I think that they probably want to see what it looks like in the regular season. So I'm not at the place yet where – I'm going to sit here and say that I think Elijah Moore is not going to make the team. I think he's going to be one of the five or six receivers.
All right, one more for you. The return game. We've seen Brandon Codrington as the main punt returner. I still believe he's entrenched there, but he hasn't shown a lot to help on defense. Maybe that opens the door for Shenault, who they do like as a kick returner, and he has played a little bit more on offense. How do you see the return game shaking out and how that might impact numbers in certain positions?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is nobody's come and taken it from Codrington.
Right.
Now, the one thing that, you know, the Bills can't make every evaluation based on if a player has versatility and can help them elsewhere, but Codrington is not going to help them on defense. Like, you saw last night what it meant, the drop-off from Cam Lewis to Codrington in the slot. I mean, it's really tough, so much so that they had to kind of throw Jordan Hancock there in the third quarter. Maybe that was the plan all along, to get him some run there. They've been playing him primarily at safety throughout the summer. But he's not going to do much on defense. But he is electric as a punt returner. He's different than Shenault and even like Hamler, who I think is a dynamic playmaker on offense. I don't think he's even as potentially explosive in the punt return game as Codrington is. And I think that they value that. And so I think he ends up, to your point, making the team and being the guy, and maybe Shenault's even a guy at this stage in his career that you can kind of keep and let him hang out in the practice squad. He hasn't done much on offense unless another team thinks, oh, hey, we have a spot we want to bring him in to return kickoffs.
Matt Perino, Shout Podcast, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse.com. What time's your flight leave to come back?
2 p.m. So I got about an hour here to finish up some work, and then I'll be heading over to the airport and we do it all again. Get ready for Tampa Bay.
Yes, we do. Real quick, what do you want to see next week in Tampa? And any chance? I don't think the starters play at all, but you know, Matt Bove brought it up in our pod this morning that maybe Sean sends a message of some sort. I can't see it. I think the risk is too much there, but what do you see and how do you see them playing out next Saturday?
Yeah, I think the risk is too big. I think we're going to see a lot. Like, I think he's going to challenge this entire group that played in this Bears game to elevate their level and see which of these, like, roster bubble players really steps up and has a performance that could potentially win them a job. I think, you know, guys like Elijah Moore, it's going to be the Curtis Samuel game maybe too. Like, he's getting closer to being ready. I don't think they're going to want to go through this entire summer period and not have him play a single snap. So I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play a lot. It's probably going to be – and I'll be interested to see if they go Mitch Trubisky. Like, if he wins the job, is this a game where you just go Mike White for a half and Bouchel for a half? How does that, you know, affect the evaluations of the wide receivers? I think there's going to be a lot of fire in that locker room and on the practice field this week. And I don't expect to see a ton of starters, but maybe, again, like the Palmer and Bishop thing, we see a couple of spot starters just to maybe get them for a series or two to get them on the same page.
All right, what do you got going on to wrap up this game and into next week over at Shout and everywhere else?
Yeah, well, I don't think the Bills are doing media today, so when we do get a chance to talk to Sean again, we'll do a podcast probably tomorrow night if the Bills get back on the practice field. Had a chance to digest all of this and maybe see if the Bills do make their evaluations. And like we talked about earlier, if they make any changes, we'll obviously cover anything big that happens over the next 24 to 48 hours.
Thanks a lot, buddy. I really appreciate you taking the time today, man.
Anytime, brother.
All right, you got it. Yep, Matt Parrino right there on the West Hur Hotline and doing a good job covering the team out in Chicago. Of course, he's still there. He's flying back. He's writing stuff. You can find him over at Syracuse.com. You can find him over at NewYorkUpstate.com. And, of course, him and Ryan Talbot doing the Shout podcast. And, of course, you can follow Matt at Matt Parrino. See, it's super simple. 2 hours at Matt Parrino. Well, we got Josh Schmidt, who is the producer of this show. And we got Mark Schmidt, who is the – no relation, right? No relation. Are you sure? Did you ever ask Mark Schmidt? Are we related? You can call and ask him.
Different spelling.
When you get him on the phone now.
My name is spelled differently than every other Schmidt in existence. Yeah, I only have one T and no D. Most people either do a D and a T or two T's.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I have you in my phone incorrectly then.
That's okay. Literally everyone has spelled my name wrong my entire life.
Pretty much here too. Most people put two P's and one C, but I'm one P and two C's.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I've typed your name out so much. I just do it by memory now.
Well, Mark Schmidt, who is the head coach at St. Bonaventure Basketball, he's going to join me after this timeout. And the reason is we are 1 week away from the annual Coaches versus Cancer dinner, golf event, great cause, great time. I'm going to be down there in Olean next week. We'll talk with him about that and some college sports when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Every year, I have the honor and pleasure to be the MC for the Coaches versus Cancer.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
716 Golf Classic. It's happening next week down in Olean, St. Bonaventure, Bartlett Country Club. And as always, Mark Schmidt, the head coach at St. Bonaventure University, his wife Anita, the entire St. Bonaventure team and family, always amazing, gracious hosts. It's a great night. It's a great day. And we're going to talk about it right now and ways that you can get involved to help us because obviously everybody listening has been impacted in some way, shape, or form by cancer. And that's what this is all about, is to making sure that we help make sure that we can do everything we can to combat cancer. And Mark Schmidt joins me right now on the West Hur Hotline. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, Sal. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad I'm talking to you because it gives me a little bit of a reprieve from talking about that 38-0 waxing last night by the Bills in Chicago. So thank you.
I saw that.
Yeah, I know.
What happened?
Well, you know, a long 4 days in Chicago. I think a little bit of sleepwalking there, but no excuse, Coach. You know, I mean, the Bills played their number twos. The Bears started with their ones, but even when the twos were the twos and the threes went against the threes, it just didn't go right. Take me into a coach right now. I mean, I'm not asking you to speak for Coach McDermott, of course. It's another sport. But when you just have just a clunker, a stinker, and your backups who are fighting for positions in a scrimmage in a preseason game just don't put it out there, what's the message? How do you approach things?
I just think you go back to practice and continue to work. It's just an exhibition game, as you know, and the Bills will be just fine. You know, I'm hoping the Patriots will be okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, they got a nice quarterback now. By the way, I met Julian Edelman last night for the first time.
Great guy. Great player.
Yeah, he's doing really, really a lot of stuff with media now. He's doing well right there. Listen, next week, the Coaches versus Cancer 716 Golf Classic. The dinner is taking place Sunday night. And then, of course, the golf event on Monday. I am always honored to be a part of it. And you've been doing this for quite a while now. Why is it so special for you? Why do you continue to host down at St. Bonaventure with your group, your team, and your family?
Yeah, I just think it's really, really important that you know, you reach out. And as you said in the opening, everybody's affected by it. You know, if you speak and you have people stand up, anybody that's affected by it, the whole room is standing. It's just something that is close to Anita and me. And, you know, this is our fourth annual, you know, the fifth. We had the first year up in Buffalo. And, you know, our community has done a tremendous job in supporting it. We're honored that you come down every year, Sal, and be the MC. It's just we've raised over $500,000, you know, in our 5 years of doing this. And, you know, so it's something that the community comes out and really supports it. You know, Fran Dunphy's going to be our keynote speaker on Monday. And, you know, we give out those two awards, the Bob Lanier Impact Award that's going to be given to Sister Margaret. The former president at Bonaventure, who's done a tremendous job in our community and is a cancer survivor. And Mark Kenzie, who's a longtime Buffalo high school coach, whose son was had cancer. And, you know, he's done a tremendous job in raising money in the Buffalo area. And he's going to get the Jim and Kathy Sadlin Inspiration Award. So that's Sunday night. And then Monday is the golf. And then Fran speaks. But we still have some opportunities, you know, dinner tickets, you know, $75, both for Sunday and Monday. If they want to come to both, it's $140. And we have the online auction that's going on as we speak. And the website, Sal, is cvc716.acsgolf.org. I'll repeat that again, cvc716.acsgolf.org. We have over 50 items, you know, some Toronto Raptors tickets, basketball experiences where, you know, the winners can go to the A-10 tournament, which is in Pittsburgh this year. You know, we have an event. We're playing North Carolina down in Florida over Thanksgiving. That's another opportunity. And a bunch of Buffalo Bills and Sabre tickets and all of that. So hopefully people get online starting today and really, you know, do a good job in raising money for this event.
No doubt about it. And what's really struck me is the far-reaching tentacles of this event, you know, and I know Coaches versus Cancer has been happening around the country and here in this region where you are at St. Bonaventure. It's so amazing for me to see every year, you know, you see Greg Paulus from Niagara coming down and George Halkovich from UB coming down, but also people from around the country. I've met so many great, inspirational people who've not only just been involved in basketball, but just want to be a part of this to help raise some money. And that's what's really cool about this event. It's connecting people to really help other people.
That's all it is. You're exactly right. It's a great event. People look forward to it. I look forward to it every year. And we have a great committee, as you know. My wife Anita and Jeff Nix do a tremendous job, and there's others on this on the committee that work. You know, this is a 365 day thing, and I don't do much. It's the support systems that we have, and as I said earlier, the support that we get from the Olean area and Bartlett Country Club, it's fantastic, and people come from all over the country to come to this thing, and you know, we have a great time Sunday night and. Great, you know, no one really cares about the golf. It's just, you know, coming and playing, having fun, but really raising money for a great cause.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's a great golf course, by the way. Bartlett's beautiful. I mean, it's a great golf course to go play around a golf.
I say it all the time for the budget that we have at Bartlett. It's one of the best golf courses in the country. It's beautiful. and, you know, have an opportunity to play that. You know, I think people really enjoy it.
What is your basketball, when does that start this year? You have this going on now. We're obviously getting to college football season, but I know basketball is always just right around the corner, it seems like.
You know, something, Sal, it's changed with this whole portal and NIL stuff. And, you know, our guys have been here. They left July 31st. They were here for 8 weeks. And we can work with them, you know, 8 hours a week and individuals and practice. And it's different now. We used to just do individual skill development. But now, because of the turnover that every team has, it's practice. You know, so we practice every day and, you know, for 8 weeks. And it was a little bit difficult because we have a couple or three or four foreign kids that couldn't get visas to get into the country. You know, so it's going to be when they arrive here September 1st, you know, now it's, you know, we had 8 or 9 guys that know what they're doing now a little bit because of, you know, the stuff that we put in. But now we have 4 or 5 guys that we're going to have to try to get them up to speed a little bit. So it's changed, but it's the way it is. And you got to accept it. You got to move on. And, you know, hopefully we can have another good season.
Yeah, and I think about this time last year or so, you guys kind of shocked the entire sports world when Woj came aboard. And obviously he left his position as the NBA insider to go back to his alma mater, which he loves so much. And gotten to know Woj a little bit over the last few years. I know how much he loves St. Bonaventure. Tell us about his role and what he's been doing for you over the last 12 months.
He's been tremendous. He's the general manager. He's the one that really deals with the NIL stuff, with the contracts, with all the agents. You know, you can see why he's been so successful in ESPN and Yahoo before that. He's totally committed to this thing, and he's working just as hard, maybe harder than he did when he was working at ESPN. But he's a valuable asset. You know, the relationships that he has, you know, I couldn't develop in the next 30 years if I wanted to. So he's really helped in the relationships with the agents, because the agents now are really, you know, not telling the kids where to go, but are really influential. You know, so the relationships that Woj has with them makes it a little bit easier. Plus, it takes a little bit off my plate in terms of negotiating contracts and, you know, it's something that he does. And he's instrumental in raising all the NIL money that we have. And he's done a tremendous job. Without him, you know, I think we'd be in a tough situation. So really happy that he's joined us and he's really excited about it. And, you know, he's going to be make a huge impact for us, you know, as we go forward.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, I was in New York City. I go to Fanatics Fest, and I'm walking around. It's at the Javits Center, and I see this really tall redhead guy, and I'm like, man, that looks like a basketball player. And then there's Woj next to him, and of course, it was Joe Grahovic is how you say his last name?
Yes, Grahovic.
Thank you. Tell us a little bit about Joe, because he's kind of become a guy that a little bit of a cult following with a little bit of a Bill Walton look, a transfer from California.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, Sal. He played high school basketball and then didn't play any college. And he was playing in, I think it was LA Fitness. And some guys saw him playing and they say, hey, you know, what college do you play at? He goes, I don't play college ball. I just work. And this guy got him in touch with Fullerton College, and he started playing. And, you know, he was homeless. He lived in his car. It's an unbelievable story. And, you know, Woj had some connection and went out there and built a really good relationship with the Fullerton College basketball staff and with Joe and his family. And he's just a guy that he's green, he's unique. He's really appreciative of everything that he's been given. And he's going to be a really good player. He does look like Bill Walton. I'm not sure he's going to be a, you know, top 50 player of all time, but just a really, you know, 6'9", 6'10", can shoot the ball, has skills, and he's really going to be somebody I think our fan base is really going to enjoy playing, watching. And he's just really unselfish. He's not, it's almost like he's not Americanized. He didn't play, you know, AAU basketball. He wasn't spoiled. It's like a breath of fresh air for a coach. And we're really looking forward to working with Joe and, you know, and trying to make him the best player he can be.
No, I love that for sure. And then last one for you, Coach. You touched on the portal. Is it just basically like a new team every year? I mean, you kind of have to approach it like that, right? I mean, I know you have some guys that stay and some guys who don't, but it seems no matter what program you look at, it's just such a different team every year now.
Yeah, that's just how it is. And some people agree with it, some people don't. But, yeah, it's every year, like this year, we have Desante Bowen and Xander Wedlow are the only two players that are returning from last year's team. And, you know, some graduated, some left, and some left because of, you know, playing time, but most of them left because of money, you know. And you don't blame the players, you know. It's how the business works. If someone offers you more money and you think it's a better situation, you've got to go. And, you know, we had some good players that went to high major programs. But you just try to rebuild it. And, you know, in the past, you try to build programs. But now you just try to build a team for every single year. And that's what we've done the last 3 years. And hopefully we can do it again this year. I think we have some good players. And the big thing, Sal, is trying to get the players that aren't caught up in their individual stats are caught up in winning and helping winning and becoming better players and you know, looking at the big picture. And I think we have some players like that. And, you know, but time will tell. You know, when adversity hits, as you know, that's when you really can tell when you have a good player and a good person. So I think we do, and we'll start working when they get back here September 1st, and hopefully we'll have another successful season.
And then you guys open up October 29th against Alfred Exhibition, Bradley as well, Canisius on the schedule, and then things get rocking and rolling down in Olean. I mean, it's right around the corner, like I said. One more time, Coach, let's tell us everybody about Sunday night and Monday and where to go once again if they want to be a part of the Coaches versus Cancer 716 Golf Classic.
So Sunday night, you know, 5 o'clock, we have, you know, dinner and hors d'oeuvres and, you know, just like a social hour, and that's when the two awards are going to be given. And then on Monday, you know, we got golf, and then we have, you know, Fran Dunphy after that as the guest speaker. And as I said, there's a live auction that's going on right now, you know, cvc716.acsgolf.org. We still have dinner tickets that they can buy, and those dinner tickets, I think, stop tomorrow.
Okay.
So if you want to buy those, you can do that in the next day. And also, you know, the other thing that I forgot, we you talked about Woj. We have dinner with Woj too.
Oh.
And that's another auction item, which is you know, I think, you know, plus it's dinner with Woj and then some tickets to a game, you know. So
I love it.
So we have a lot of good things, and just looking forward to be able to raise a lot of money this year so we can help, you know, people with, you know, Hope Lodge and you know, transportation to their doctor's appointments and so forth. So excited and looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to getting you down here.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm gonna tweet out the link for everybody so they can see where it is. Dinner with Woj is one of the auction items with all the different things you could take part in. You could see it right there. I'll tweet it out on my Twitter. Coach, looking forward to seeing you and everybody and Anita, of course, next Sunday night. Always a pleasure and honor for me to be a part of it. So thanks again for letting everybody know, and I'll see you in about a week.
Thanks, Sal. Thanks for having me on.
All right, you got it. That is Coach Mark Schmidt, the head coach of the St. Bonaventure University men's basketball team. I will tweet out the link, cvc716.acsgolf.org. You have everything right there. The auction is right there. The tickets for the dinner, golf, everything. It's going to be an awesome Sunday night and Monday here at down in Olean, I should say. We'll take a timeout. One more segment remaining here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Heard Matt Perino on a little bit earlier, and thank you, by the way, to Matt Perino for joining me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You heard him say, no media availability today that we've been made aware of at all for Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills, kind of standard today after the game. Sean did speak last night, so we're not going to get much of an update, really any update, on any injured players that will come later in the week. Still don't have the official time schedule yet for when we will hear again from the Bills head coach, but assumption is they'll be back on the practice field tomorrow. We'll hear from him, and then we'll get a little bit more of an update on what's going on. So you should get a practice Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, which will be more of a lighter practice before traveling out to Tampa on Friday this week, and then the Bills will take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And after that game, once the gun sounds to end that game, that is it, folks. That is it. The Bills are then preparing for the Baltimore Ravens Sunday night, week one. And it doesn't matter what the scores were in preseason. I mean, it doesn't really matter anyway right now, right? But we'll see how they handle that on Saturday night. All right, thanks to Matt Perino. Thanks to Mark Schmidt, head coach of St. Bonaventure University. Got the Coaches versus Cancer Sunday night. the golf on Monday. It's going to be a really, really great time. If you have never been a part of it, please check it out at least. Take a look. It might be something you're interested in, and the live auction is awesome. CVC716.acsgolf.org. We got Zach back in tomorrow, and I'll be out at practice, and we'll check in again. In the meantime, have a great rest of your day.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.